Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
Wow, you sounded really nice singing. We'll have to go a cappella maybe a little bit more so we can really hear you. That was powerful. Thank you for really singing and worshiping this morning. We are looking at Isaiah chapter 9. And so if you have a Bible, feel free to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. We've also looked at the last part of Isaiah chapter 8. And I'll give you a little bit more context that I didn't last time. But the series that we're looking at is the Gospel of Christmas. We're looking at the good news about Christ at Christmas time. And as you look at Isaiah, you can't help but see the messianic themes just flowing through Isaiah. He presents Jesus as the ultimate, as the deliverer for his people, for all times. And so Isaiah quotes a lot of the New Testament, and he points at Jesus as the deliverer, as the Savior. So that's a little bit of the context of Isaiah chapter 9, end of chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 9 up to chapter 9, verse 7. That's what we're looking at. And as you turn there and as you are there, I just want to share with you a little bit something that I experienced last night. Last evening, I was at a film screening. It was a documentary film, and it was called Sons of Perdition. Some of you have maybe heard of it, or maybe you watched it. If you go on YouTube, you could actually do a search for Sons of Perdition. You can watch the trailer. But the film is about exiled young men from the Warren Jeffs FLDS polygamous cult. All right, and these young boys have been exiled. They've been kicked out of the group and out of the FLDS church. And it's all about how they've either left and gone out and now what life is like outside of this group. How the world sort of opens up to them, and it's all about the struggles that these young men face as they try to leave, and then as they try to pull their families out of what they've determined is clearly not something of God. And it was quite a powerful film. There are a lot of people gathered there as a fundraiser for an organization called Holding Out Help, and they specifically go and help families leave these places, leave these polygamous sect type of places. And a filmmaker came along and did a film on it. It took him about 4 years to film these young men. And actually, some of the men were actually at the showing last night. And they brought them up on stage. They brought some of the young ladies and even a mother of one of the children, the child that eventually brought the mom out. It's just a powerful thing. And as you saw these people gather up on the stage, they had these signs, and it showed what they felt like when they were in the group, and then they flipped it over. You remember our cardboard testimonies that we do? It was the same thing. They flipped it over, and they held them up high, and it showed how they felt now. Many of them had to do with freedom. Free, I'm free. And they felt controlled in the group. Now outside of the group, they feel like they have power, and they have more control over their own lives. And the crowd was just caught up. It was very powerful. People stood up, loud rounds of applause and standing ovations. It was just, a powerful thing as I watched there. And as I was coming home, I was thinking about their story. I was thinking about this film and how much of an impact it will have. And when it comes out, you should go see it. And I thought about the nature of a group like that, and how it ties into Isaiah. Groups such as the FLDS and other groups across our country that sort of hold people in control are all about two things, and that is power and authority. power and authority. If you hear the testimonies of these people who came out of this group, you can hear all of this power. Well, whatever the prophet says, that is true, and we must do it. Whatever your husband says is true, and you must do it. Women, you must obey whatever your husband's wishes are. Your whole existence centers around making sure he is comfortable and he is okay. He is your authority in everything. Okay, that's the nature of this thing. And that's how sick and how crazy it can become. And people begin to do things, really sick things that they shouldn't be doing. As you take a look at Israel now, as you take a look actually at a divided kingdom that Isaiah is speaking to, he's speaking to Judah in the north, Israel in the south. I'm sorry, backwards. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. The kingdom is divided. Isaiah is speaking primarily a message to Judah, and they are decimated. That's what we looked at the end of chapter 8 last time. They are decimated. It's darkness. They feel oppressed. They feel the grief and the agony of being oppressed and the turmoil. And they're frightened and they're afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. Remember last week we talked about how Jesus was the light that they needed. He came into a dark place. It was a dark time for Israel. They were powerless and they had someone else in authority over them. In essence, they were sort of confined to a certain place because of a loss of power and a loss of authority, much in the same way as these folks in the FLDS group find themselves. So it's a very, very dark place. A little bit more background, though, to Isaiah and what Isaiah is speaking to here in Isaiah chapter 9. It's a divided kingdom. What had happened is, a little bit more background, what had happened is King Ahaz, who was king of the southern kingdom of Judah, heard that the northern kingdom of Israel was going to join up with Syria, and they were deciding to come against Judah, take over Judah. And so he pleads to God. He goes to God and he says, God, this is a problem. We don't want to lose power. We don't want to come under the authority of anyone else. And so I'm going to skip through this. I may come back to it in a little bit. So he actually goes to God and says, look, this is what's happening. What's going on? And God responds to King Ahaz this way. He says this, say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart. He says, I know what's going on. I know that your enemies to the north are going to come after you. I got you. Be cool. That's not what the Bible says, but that's my interpretation. Okay, you get it? So God's saying, be calm. Everything's going to be cool. What Ahaz does is he actually takes things into his own hands. He begins to take on authority and power that really isn't his, and he begins to act in his own behalf. So he gathers his generals, he gathers all of his people, he says, what can we do? And they decide to hire the Assyrians, the most powerful army in the land. We're going to hire the Assyrians to go against Israel and against Syria, and we're going to beat those guys that way. So I'm going to take things in my own hands. God has told you, be cool, stay calm, don't do anything rash. And the first thing he does is they go and hire the Assyrians. So as it turns out, things will backfire on him, though, because he hires the Assyrians. They go, they conquer Judah and Syria, but they keep coming south. They conquer Israel and Syria. They keep coming south to Judah, and they conquer him, too. The whole plan backfires on him. He is now subject to the Assyrians. And so the darkness and the gloom and the turmoil and the grief that is experienced at the end of chapter 8 of Isaiah and into chapter 9, the light comes in, is all a result of Ahaz taking power and authority unto himself and doing something that God didn't want him to do. Now think about that for a moment. Can you relate to Ahaz? Can you relate to the situation? When things are rough, when you're afraid, when you're scared, when you're not sure about what's supposed to happen, we begin to scramble for stuff, right? We begin to take things in our own hands. We begin to be the king of our own domain. We begin to take all authority and all power unto ourselves. We begin to sway all influence over all everything. Right? Rather than doing what God says and say, hey, trust me. I got you. I got your back. You're covered. Haven't I always been there for you? Don't you remember the way I led you out of Egypt and I took care of you when you were in the desert? When things were dark and gloomy back then, wasn't I the same God who came along next to you and took care of you? Don't go off taking power and authority unto yourself. So, again, we come to chapter 9 now, and then thankfully, man, there's that first verse of chapter 9. Remember that? Let me go to first verse of chapter 9, then we'll go back and look at verses 6 and 7. It says, nevertheless, remember last week, thank goodness there's a nevertheless. There's grief, there's darkness, there's gloom upon God's people. But it says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled them. He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness, I'll keep going, have seen a great light. On those living in the land, the shadow of death, light has dawned. So Isaiah's saying, yes, there's lots of darkness, lots of gloom now. You pretty much brought it on yourself. But nevertheless, there's a God who sees you, knows you, understands the darkness that you're under, and he will come in and be a great light. Wow. We're talking about the gospel of Christmas. There's nothing more gospel-y than the notion that I get myself in a jam, I mess up, and in spite of that, God comes in and rescues me. Wow. The Bible says that while they were yet sinners, Christ died for you and me. Whoa. Even when I exercise my power, little p, and authority, little a, God still steps in and comes alongside of me. Thank God for a nevertheless. So if there's darkness now for you, if it's gloomy and grief, and you're grief-stricken and you're afraid of what's going to happen, take courage because the God of the universe says, it won't always be dark. It won't always be dark, man. In fact, it continues on. Let me go to verses 6 and 7, which is really our focus this morning. I'm going to back up and take you to verses 6 and 7. Of Isaiah. Listen to this. In fact, why don't you just kind of read along with me. It says, for to us a child is born. 1, 2, 3, ready to go. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So Isaiah says it won't always be dark. There is a light. It's the light that we need. That's what we talked about last time. But he also says, that there is a gift that is coming. For to us a child is born, to us a son is. Jesus came, and I'm grateful that he came. But he was also given. Right? He was given to us. He is this gift that comes to us, and it's the gift that we need at just the right time. It may not be the gift that we necessarily want, but it's the gift that we need. It's the gift that we need. Everybody has this person in their families that at Christmas time, they always give you what you need. Right? You have that relative that gives you socks. It's like, there's nothing flashy or fun about socks. But she gives you socks, or he gives you socks, right? Or a sweater. You know, when I was a kid, there's always a family member that would give me socks or a sweater or underwear. Kids don't want socks and sweaters and underwear. We want stuff that takes batteries, baby. All right? All right? And that's what a grown men want too, by the way. Stuff that takes batteries. Or stuff that you can hang on your walls about 50 inches and it's flat screen. Anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. Or it's at the Apple store and it can be recharged, okay? But there's always that relative that gave you what you need rather than what you wanted. And the beautiful thing about the God of the universe is that he gives us a gift. Christ has given to us. He's not necessarily the gift that we want, but he's the gift that we need. And that's significant, because here's the deal. Most of us, like King Ahaz, and most of us, like most people in our culture, in our world today, would rather have a Savior who gives us power rather than a God who calls us to surrender. In other words, Jesus comes as a baby, a helpless, vulnerable child. He does not come in power. He does not come as a great king to overthrow the nations that are oppressing his people. He comes as a helpless child. Most of us have a hard time with that kind of Savior. In fact, he's not necessarily the gift that we would want. You and I would rather have power to destroy our oppressors. All right? Think about it. Another very real aspect of the gospel message is that you and I are broken. We are sinful. We are sort of turned inward, and we only are concerned about ourselves. And so one of the things that's very, very prominent, the problem with us is that we love power. We love to be in control. And if my power is threatened, then I become a crazy person. I make crazy decisions. I do crazy things. I may treat you differently if you threaten my power. If you come onto my territory, I begin to figure out how I can protect my territory. I begin to find ways to get my armies together and to wage war against you. Because I want power. King Ahaz wanted power. His power was threatened. He began to manipulate things in such a way that he could keep his power. Yeah. Isn't it? I mean, that's the nature of that. That's how we are. That's how broken human nature is. We long to be powerful. All the cases of abuse, all the cases of polygamous sex and other cult groups, it's about power, it's about authority. And yet the God of the universe comes as a gift. He was given to us. He does not come with any power, and he does not come with any authority. He's a helpless baby. Now, some of you who have kids would say, the kids have all the power in the world. What do you mean? You know? But in reality, he came with no political power. In fact, he came to a town that would not even be, you know, wouldn't even be considered an important place to come from. And he hung out with people who weren't the elite of the day. He came vulnerable. He came no power, no political power. Wasn't related to any kings or anything. He just came as this helpless gift. So part of what Christmas is about is it's about you and me laying down our power. It's about humbly submitting to the real King of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It could be a time in which there is reconciliation between those who we've come up against because our power was threatened. There are a lot of relationships that are fractured because power was involved, and I was hurt, or I was offended, and you threatened my authority. And oh, just think about it a little bit. It fits. Let it slide in there. Because there's a part of us that wants that power and that authority. We don't want the Jesus that was given as a gift because he's helpless, he's vulnerable, he's a baby in a manger, has to depend on people to take care of him. And yet the gospel The gospel is largely about a people who could not save themselves, who are helpless and vulnerable. And no matter how hard you try to perpetrate a powerful, authoritative person, you are not powerful enough to save yourself, is what the gospel says. Wow. So Jesus comes as this gift that we don't necessarily expect. It's not the gift that we really, really want, but it's the gift that we need. It's a gift of humility. It's a gift of surrendering our power. Let me continue on. Notice this. This is what 2 Corinthians 9:15, this is what Paul says. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul, the New Testament, even backs up the notion that Jesus is this gift that was given to us. Let me continue. Luke 9:1, power and authority. Check this out. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. What is also true is that God understands that his people need power and authority to operate in a dark world. This is a dark place. Until the Messiah returns, until our Savior returns to fulfill all glory, we live in a dark world. So he says, you guys still need power and authority. Not the kind of power and authority that you think you need to control people, to oppress people, to harm people, to create cults that take freedom away from people. No, not that kind. But the kind that comes from the God of the universe, the Jesus kind. And so Jesus gives us power and authority. He doesn't let you go through this life in this world without power and authority. And what's really powerful is to see this at Christmas time and to say that God gives us power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And this is where I want to bring this in. So often we want to use our power and authority to hurt or for selfish gain. And God says, no, use your power and authority not to serve you, but to serve others. Wow. Wow. So God's people have power and authority and influence. God's people should be at the highest levels of government. God's people should be at whatever level of influence that they can find themselves in. Your kids should go and have influence in the culture. But it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of his influence in their lives. It's all given by God, not something that they achieve on their own. And you use it to relieve oppression. Wow. You hear that? You use it to be, like we talked about, light in the world. You use it to help young boys who are caught up in a polygamous sect to get out of that. You use your power and your authority given to you by Jesus to help put clothes on naked people, to help feed hungry people. And it's not just at Christmas time, although that's the time in which we think about it all the time, so we take advantage of that time, but you use it. You use it to help the orphans and the widows. You use your power, your authority, your influence. You think about the great civil rights movement, and you think about how a preacher, Martin Luther King Jr., was at the head of that movement, and he operated in a nonviolent way. He operated by peaceful demonstrations. He was under the influence of the power and authority of Jesus. That's who he acted. That's who he derived his authority from. The same is true for you and I. When we wage war against injustices in the culture, when we go to bat for those who are the least of these in the culture, we go to bat under the banner of under the authority of Jesus who gives it to us. Not under our own power, not under our own strength, not because we have degrees and not because we have experiences that give us legitimate power and authority, but because Jesus has called us to make an influence and to have power and authority in the world. I didn't get any more than an amen than that. I'm hurt now. Jesus is a gift, but he's not the one of power and authority that most of us really want. I want power to overcome all the junk that drags me down. I want power to overthrow my enemies, whether they be in my workplace or in the same school that I go with. I want to be able to show up at school and punch the bully in the nose. As much as the bully may deserve it, that's not the way Jesus would have me go against those who oppress me. So Jesus is this powerful gift. He's this awesome gift. He's this one who calls us to use what he gives us to serve those who are the least. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about power and authority. But I want you to think about how God gives that to you. Not to lift you up, not to put you in a high place, but in reality to humble you, to keep you low, so that he may receive the glory, the honor, and all the power. All of this is a result of grace. That was the final thing. That's the thing I wanted you to see. In fact, let me go back. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. All that in there, that's power and authority, justice and righteousness from that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord. But let me go back here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. It's free. It's a gift. It's grace. It's all because of grace. And we receive power and authority in this life only because of grace. Not because we deserve it, not because we can acquire it by snatching it from someone else or achieving great things. But we receive it as a gift of grace, as a result of grace. And so the big thing that you and I need to do at Christmas time is be grateful for and appreciate the beauty and the incredible gift of grace that we have. So many people downplay grace. They say when you talk about grace, you fail to talk about obedience. When you talk about grace, you're just it's cheap grace, blah, 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 blah. Baloney. Baloney. Until you understand the power of grace, until you understand the power of Jesus' free gift to humanity, you will never, never, never be able to celebrate the power and the beauty of Jesus' gift of himself. You'll never be able to celebrate that, man. You'll never be compelled by the right reasons to do good in the world. You'll always be compelled by your own desire for power and authority over others. It's all a result of grace. Absolutely all of it. Until you can appreciate the beauty of that gift, man, the beauty of grace, and celebrate it, man. Be excited about it. Be excited about grace, man. Because that's ultimately what it's all about. I want to invite you to pray with me, but I want to invite you to pray specifically for a couple of things, during this time. I don't know whatever's challenging you at this season. I don't know what it is. I don't know what decisions you're going through. I don't know what darkness has invaded your world. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what power trip you're on, what power and authority trip you're on, and it's causing issues in your relationships. It's causing issues with you and work or school or your family. I don't know what's going on. But I know that I have those issues, and I need prayer. But I want you to kind of come and say, God, this morning I'm going to surrender my power trips. I'm going to surrender all of that to you. I'm going to acknowledge that you are the great light that comes into the darkness. I'm going to acknowledge that you are, that it's free gift of grace. I cannot save myself. I cannot do anything to deserve your grace, but it's free. And I'm going to surrender that this morning. So it's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of asking God to really step into our worlds and at Christmas time be the gift that we want him to be. The surprise that not the power to conquer everybody else, but really the power to be humbled and to surrender your power to Him. So pray with me, and as you pray, I want you to hold your hand up. Just hold one hand up. Father God, as we pray this morning, hands lifted high, acknowledging the fact that, God, we are in desperate need of Jesus. We were in desperate need of Him before we knew Him, and we are continuing to be in need of Him even after we've started a relationship with Him, because the world is a dark place, God, and we need You. What we also recognize, God, is that there are others, there are things that are going on in this world and in this culture that we desperately need You for, too. We need Your power, Your authority, Your Spirit to be at work. To help those, Lord, who are oppressed, to encourage those who are in need, but we need You. So, Father, we come this morning with arms lifted high to surrender anew, to give up on ourselves, to lay down our swords, and to serve You, to serve under Your authority, Your power, so that we might serve those next to us. God, I pray for Your light to shine into the darkness of our lives, for Your Spirit to convict us of the power trips that we're on, for You to set us free, for You to be the gift that we need. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.